Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another edition of the FantasyGuru.com show. And now, here's your host from FantasyGuru.com, John Hansen.
Welcome to another edition of the FantasyGuru.com podcast. I'm John Hansen. It's Friday, April 15th, and we are less than 2 weeks away now from the kickoff of the 2016 NFL Draft. So we're going to do what we normally do this time of the year, cover the rookie class skill player-wise with our man Greg Cosell to get a snapshot of these players before the NFL Draft, and then we'll reconvene after the draft and kind of break it all down once we know where these guys will be playing in 2016 and beyond. Of course, if you are a subscriber to FantasyGuru.com, we've had our pre-draft rookie report up with some great work by our guys Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley. That's been up on the site for about 3 weeks now, a little bit more detailed analysis in that article than we'll get to here on the podcast. And also a reminder, the early bird special for FantasyGuru.com will end in 2 weeks, May 1st. You can subscribe to the website for 2016 for 20% less than it was over two decades ago. I dare America to find a better deal than that over the last 20 years or so. And I'll spill the beans a little bit. If you're listening right now and you have not subscribed for 2016, I haven't really talked about this yet because we're still in the earlier stages, but I'll say this. We are completely redoing FantasyGuru.com this year. It's a complete overhaul. A lot of new features, a lot of new tools, a lot more stats to work with, which is going to be huge, going to be really helpful for you as a user on the website, making your decisions on a weekly basis, and for us as well in terms of our analysis. So we're getting excited for that. We're a few months away from rolling that out, but FYI, FantasyGuru.com will be bigger and better than ever in 2016. And one man who is always big and bad in the industry, and I say bad in a good way, of course, Mr. Greg Cosell. Greg, good morning.
John, what's happening?
Draft time, man. You must be really busier than usual, right? You did one show on the matchup show, a draft special, and how are you? And how busy are you this year compared to other years?
Well, doing these two matchup shows, which has been phenomenal, with a great partnership, the continuation, and hopefully the expansion of the brand with ESPN and NFL Films to continue to do draft shows in the years ahead. But that makes my life a little more hectic at this time of year, in addition to all the tape study I try to get done. And then actually a week from tomorrow, as we do this on a Friday, a week from tomorrow on the 23rd of April, I'm going to be part of a Fox special on national TV. Kevin Burkhart's hosting, Charles Davis, myself, Molly McGrath, Nate Burleson, I think Peter Schrager as well. We're doing an hour show on kind of an NFL / draft special.
Nice, nice. Man, Nate Burleson, I had him on the radio a couple of times. I told him 10 years ago, I was like, dude, I'll see you in the media. You know what I mean? He's awesome.
All right, oh, yeah, Nate's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Is that at the draft or is that at another location?
No, it will air on the 23rd, which is the Saturday prior to the draft.
I don't know exactly
the time, but it's on national TV on Fox.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll be at the draft this year.
Our second matchup show will air Tuesday night, the 19th, coming up at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
Gotcha, this Tuesday night. So we're looking forward to that as well. Yeah, and the first one got great reviews out there. I haven't seen it yet, I have to admit to you. I've been a little bit busy here, but I do have a DVR and I will check it out. But let's get into this draft class here. We're not going to cover everyone in depth. And again, if you're a subscriber to FantasyGuru.com, actually, a little secret, the pre-draft rookie report we have up on the website, it is available for all people. So you don't even have to actually be a subscriber to check it out. So just go to FantasyGuru.com. You can click on a link to log in. That will take you to the subscriber homepage. And then some articles are accessible, some are not. All are accessible if you're a subscriber. But just look for the pre-draft rookie report. Greg, we'll get into it now, though. We'll start at the quarterback position. And we'll start with Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State, 6'5", 237, maybe the most pro-ready quarterback in this class. I know the comparison has been thrown out there a lot to Andrew Luck. I totally see that. I don't think he's as athletic, and maybe his arm isn't as good, but the kid is very impressive, very poised, very calm, threw 45 touchdowns versus 14 picks in his college career. By the way, a lot of those picks were deflected passes, played in a pro-style offense. We all know about the level of competition, Greg, but when you break him down, when you compare him to almost anyone else, let's say the last 10 years, how does he stack up? I would say pretty favorably. Carson Wentz, to me, Greg, kind of looks like a can't-miss guy, and I know that's a little dangerous, but what did the tape reveal when you popped it in there on Wentz?
Well, just a quick point, and I've sort of been saying this over the last week, and there'll be some people who will automatically disagree just because that's the way they're sort of trained. But to me, it's not where you play or who you play as much as it's how you play. We saw that with Khalil Mack a few years ago. And he's clearly the most physically talented quarterback in this draft class. If you stack him up traits-wise, and that's what we do, we look at quarterback traits that are successful in the NFL. If you stack him up traits-wise, he's extremely gifted. And it's funny, you made the Luck comparison. He's a different kind of athlete than Luck, because even though they're the same size, relatively speaking, John, Wentz is built totally differently. Wentz is actually more fluid than Luck. Luck is more powerful as an athlete.
Yeah, true.
And I think that Wentz's arm is, it's right there with Luck's. I don't think Luck has a bigger arm than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has tremendous torque in the way he delivers the football, and he can throw with great velocity. He can throw with pace and touch. When you look at the attributes and traits, Carson Wentz has everything you would want.
Any negatives here? I guess the one thing that we kind of noticed is maybe the accuracy on downfield throws a little spotty, but it's almost, I feel like we're nitpicking there, but any negatives on Wentz?
Well, I would say your point's well taken. The number one focus, and he's worked on this all throughout this process, is to get better throwing the deep ball. He tended to keep his front shoulder too straight and therefore not throw with the needed trajectory. You sort of need to lift up your front shoulder when you throw the deep ball. It was better at his pro day, so it's clearly something he's worked on. I would say from a traits perspective, there's no negative. And one thing to keep in mind, when Carson Wentz was given the play calls in North Dakota State, he was given everything but the protection. He called all the protections at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and a pro-style offense, the polish of a grizzled veteran, really. It's and an impressive kid, by the way. I didn't get a chance to talk to him at the Combine, but just being around him and seeing how he carries himself, he's a pretty charismatic kid and a confident kid, but not cocky at all. I really like him, everything, really, the whole package. So, Greg, the real question now, after the big trade, the Los Angeles Rams are on the clock, and they're going to have a decision. They're obviously going quarterback, Greg. If you're the Rams, if you're Jeff Fisher, he did this before, by the way. He dipped into a lower-level college program to get Steve McNair. Is Wentz a slam dunk over Jared Goff? I know that there's talk of Goff going to the Rams at one overall, but, man, I'd be shocked if they didn't take Carson Wentz.
Well, I personally would take Carson Wentz, but again, I can't speak to what the Rams will do. I think Wentz has better attributes, better traits than Goff. I think he's a better prospect.
Moving on to Jared Goff, I did hear my friend Adam Schefter on SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday talking about how the Browns, he's hearing, are not likely to go quarterback at number two. So maybe Jared Goff could be in play for the 49ers at seven, even the Eagles at eight. So let's break down Jared Goff, 6'4", 215, full-time starter for three seasons at Cal, threw for a bunch of yards, 12,000 plus, 96 touchdowns, 30 picks. That is a spread offense. And his production and probably his film has improved, which is a very good thing. He's got the good height at 6'4". And look, I stood next to him at the Combine. I didn't think he was skinny. He did put on weight. He registered at 215. So break down the tape here from Jared Goff. I know you've made a comparison. Actually, no, it wasn't you. Our guy, Fran Duffy, who I know you know, he compared him to Jake Plummer. Your thoughts on that and your thoughts on Jared Goff's tape?
I don't quite see the Jake Plummer comparison because I don't think Goff moves like Jake Plummer. To me, Goff's a pocket quarterback. He's got light feet. He's got a compact delivery. He's got a live arm but not a strong arm. He's an easy thrower. I'd say his arm strength is comparable to a Matt Ryan-type thrower. He's a natural pocket quarterback. He has a very good feel within the pocket, good pocket movement, good balance. I think he has good vision in the pocket. He's an accurate thrower. He has a lot of traits that you really like. The one concern, and again, this is an issue for some and maybe not for others, is he does not have a real strong arm. He's not a power thrower. Now, if he turns out to be Matt Ryan, I think anybody that drafted him would be very happy about that.
Yeah, and also played out of the shotgun almost exclusively.
Yeah, which is very interesting. That's a great point, John, because the people who are talking about the Rams will build their offense around Todd Gurley, which means the quarterback will play under center. And that just means it's another layer of learning for Jared Goff if he was to play in that system. Now, people can say, oh, that's easy. It's not easy. Anything that's new that you have to learn at the highest level of football is not easy. And keep in mind that in the air raid offense, and I've been fortunate to spend time with a coach who used to be on Mike Leach's staff and worked with Sonny Dykes, that offense, the quarterback is not asked to do anything involving protections. It's an offense that's not built on reading of the defense. So Goff has more layers of learning, so to speak, than Carson Wentz.
He also had some deer in the headlight moments in his career, and he got hit a lot.
Yep.
So when you add it all up here, and you're looking at the Rams with the number one overall pick, and we all know their offensive line is not very good. Now, they do have some players here, Greg Robinson and Saffold and your guy Rob Habenstein there at right tackle. But when you consider the offensive line and the identity, and to piggyback off your point there in terms of being under center, it really should be Carson Wentz for the Rams.
To me, yes.
Let's move on here, and we'll talk Paxton Lynch out of Memphis, 6'7", 244, a freak. Basically, with that size, he can run. He ran for 687 yards, 17 rushing touchdowns. Another spread guy, does throw yep. with the good touch. Probably the strongest arm in this class, Greg. So what's the problem? Why isn't he the number one pick? Because physically, he should be there, but obviously there's some problems.
Well, I think when you look at Paxton Lynch, the traits are there. He can rip throws. He's a big kid. He moves well. There was such a wide variation in his play from game to game, John, and that is always concerning because there's such a wide variation at the college level, then where does the consistency come at the NFL level? Does it automatically appear? Does he automatically become a consistent player? Very simple offense, another guy with layers of learning, could get there, could not get there. He's a traits prospect, very good traits. The performance and production, when I say production, I'm not talking about numbers, I'm talking about overall play, does not always match the traits. There's not enough consistency to his play.
For what it's worth, some people feel he may have been hurt last year because it was basically a tale of two seasons. First half was very good, and then it got real ugly there with Paxton Lynch. Also, I'm sure he has a lot of footwork issues and all that. Does he fit in a particular system in your mind, or is he a guy you can kind of put in any scheme?
To me, he's more of a downfield thrower. He's a big kid who can drive the ball, power arm, can rip throws. I don't see him fitting into a system that emphasizes 6 yard. You know, he's not a quarterback that you'd see running the Patriots system. You know, I think he's a guy who theoretically runs a system we associate more with the Bruce Arians, where the ball gets thrown at the intermediate and deeper levels.
Yeah, I was going to say Todd Haley and the Steelers as well with Paxton Lynch. He's got a little Big Ben in him as well. Would you classify him boom or bust? Maybe that's unfair, but he does seem to be kind of sticking to one of the other ends of the spectrum there.
Well, that's always hard for me, John, because I'm such a big believer in coaching and in also situations, how a player is utilized early in his career. I mean, we saw someone like Joe Flacco come in, same level of competition as Carson Wentz, and he went to a team that at the time had a dominant run game and a dominant defense, and for 2-3 years, the Ravens were able to massage Flacco. By NFL standards, he threw relatively few passes in his first 2-3 years, and he was able to grow into the position. So I'm such a big believer in that and coaching that it's hard for me to answer that question.
Yeah, but then again, with Flacco, you could tell pretty early. I'm talking like rookie year that the kid had it going on and he had what it took.
No, I agree. I would agree, but we can say that now. Imagine if he went to a team where he had to drop back 45 times a game beginning week one because of the team was bad. You know, so it's easy to say that looking back. You know, Paxton Lynch, and I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but if he gets drafted by a team that decides he's got to be our starter right from week one, he'll have some major growing pains.
Yeah, I mean, we could say this about all these guys, that they really need to sit down for a year. We were actually talking about that in the office yesterday. It is kind of interesting, the few quarterbacks who have actually sat seem to do well. You know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, that's a great example right there. I mean, he's in and out of lineup a little bit, but he sat, and obviously we can talk Aaron Rodgers as well. Moving on here, Greg, and by the way, we're going off our pre-draft rookie report rankings, which take them with a grain of salt because it all depends on where they land, but we do have Connor Cook for Michigan State fourth on the list at 6'4", 217. Very productive, as you know, Greg, and he's a quote-unquote winner. Michigan State had a 34-4 mark under Cook, 74 touchdowns, just 22 picks. Pro-style offense, probably he's more pro-ready, you know, than anyone but Wentz in this draft. Pretty good movement, pretty good pocket presence, Greg. I mean, there's a lot of positives here, but maybe talk about the negatives here with Connor Cook.
Well, you hit on some of the positives. He's an efficient pocket quarterback. He worked very effectively within the context of Michigan State's run-first play-action pass game. That's what he is. From a negative standpoint, he tends to get over his front foot when he throws, which really impacts his velocity. He does not throw with a big arm. It also, at times, impacts his accuracy. He can tend to be scattershot. So those are two things I think need to be worked on. I know he's been working with George Whitfield all this stretch, and they need to clean up. And I don't know if it's possible, because he's probably been throwing this way his whole career, his whole life. But that getting over his front foot is really problematic. He really loses velocity, and he loses some accuracy. So we'll see how that goes. But the style of quarterback, he's a guy who needs, you know, you could almost argue he'd be like a Kirk Cousins type quarterback. He needs a team. He's and if you think he's more than that, I think you'd be making a mistake.
Not a ton of upside most likely there for Connor Cook, and we can talk about another guy next, that Christian Hackenberg, who, well, he's got some upside but a lot of downside out of Penn State, 6'4", 223, little Jay Cutler in him, perhaps. Bill O'Brien coached him as a freshman in a pro-style offense, a lot of work under center, and he did very well, completing 58.9% of his passes, which isn't a great number, but the 20 touchdowns there and the 10 picks. If you watched, I guess, Greg, the best way to frame him is you watch his best 50 throws, you'd think he's, you know, the best quarterback in this draft class. If you watched his worst 50, you think he was probably – undraftable. I mean, he's kind of a polarizing guy and certainly struggled in the spread system the last couple of years, got hit a lot. What's your overall takeaway watching the body of work there with Christian Hackenberg?
Yeah, I'll just tell you what I see the tape showing. I think overall that he does not have a great feel in the pocket. There's not great pocket presence. I don't think he consistently saw things very clearly from the pocket. I think his feet are a little heavy and static. I think the tape tells you that he's not a quick processor. It took him a little too long to eliminate and isolate, and that presents a learning curve. Now, he's also not a pure anticipation thrower. I think he's more of a see-it, throw-it quarterback, and you mentioned Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's always been that kind of quarterback as well. He's very deliberate in everything he does. He's going to have to speed up everything he does. Now, having said that, there were throws when he looked tremendous with his balance, his easy delivery, and he can rip the ball. So he is going to be a function of where he goes and who coaches him, because he needs to be coached and he needs work from the ground up.
Wouldn't be surprised if he slipped a little bit if Bill O'Brien did, in fact, take a shot on his former player. And I thought it was ironic at the combine that the second Christian Hackenberg was at the podium, and you know the room where they have the coaches and players. Well, Bill O'Brien was there at the exact same time. So I thought that was a little funny. Moving on, Greg, at number six, we've got a guy that I know you like, Jacoby Brissett out of North Carolina State, 6'4", 231, a pretty interesting guy. Originally enrolled in Florida, then he transferred, and he started the last two seasons. Numbers were very similar, 59.9% of his passes completion rate and a 43 touchdown versus 11 INT. Ratio there was pretty strong. Did very little under center, though. Greg, what does the tape show you on Jacoby Brissett?
He was under center a little more than you think, John, but I think he's probably the next most physically gifted quarterback overall after Carson Wentz. The talent jumps off the film with Brissett, the physical talent. He's got a strong arm. He's got excellent movement. Now, he's a guy that needs to speed up as well. He's a little deliberate also in everything he does, including his delivery. He's got a lot of tools. I think he also, again, when you watch the tape tells you that at times he was slow to process. So again, now you get into the coaching and all those factors that you don't know yet because you don't know where he's going to go. But I think the talent level is there. He rolled out a lot in North Carolina State's offense. They cut the field in half for Brissett, which normally is done to limit reading progressions. So he faced a lot of blitz his last season. There were a lot of free rushers to Brissett. Now, you don't know why there are free rushers, whether it's a protection thing through the O-line, whether he didn't recognize that would have to be studied by talking to people, which I don't get the opportunity to do. But he's a talented guy who will be a day three pick. Maybe he could possibly be a third round pick, but he'll certainly be a day three pick.
If you squint hard enough, can you see any Jameis Winston in Brissett?
I think ideally, if you squint hard enough, for the people that would like Brissett, they'd probably see Ben Roethlisberger, because he makes movement throws. He threw a touchdown against Clemson this year where it looked exactly like Roethlisberger with the way he was able to move and shed defenders.
Gotcha. Moving on, he's we'll call him a sleeper. I mean, he's a sleeper quarterback this year, Jacoby Brissett. Dak Prescott, arguably another sleeper in this class, pretty deep class here. We have him at 7 out of Mississippi State, 6'2", 226. Now, we know he had the DUI, which is, you know, unfortunate and all that. But, you know, you and I actually talked with him at the combine. I was interviewing him. I brought you into the interview.
You
helped me with that. Yeah. But I thought he was a great kid. We talked about
a great
comparison.
Kid.
Yeah. To Donovan McNabb. And it's fair to say, Greg, if he was in last year's quarterback class, I mean, Prescott could have been the third best prospect behind Winston and Mariota. He's got a little Brett Hundley in him, a 3-year starter. He improved as he went along here. And what are your thoughts on Dak Prescott as he tries to transition to the NFL?
Well, he's got two concerns that have to be dealt with. Number one, he's got significant footwork issues that has to be cleaned up. And he's not really a timing anticipation thrower. He's much more of a see it, throw it passer. He's got a lot of layers of learning as well. He ran a very basic pass offense that presented a lot of one-read concepts with defined scheme throws, which, by the way, that's the college game. There's a great article in the New Sports Illustrated by Greg Bedard about the difference between the college game and the NFL game, and it's a great read because the differences are extreme. And Prescott really symbolizes that from the quarterback position. He has very little experience in the drop-back passing game, and that requires time and reps, and it's absolutely necessary in the NFL. He does have a live arm. He can make all the necessary throws. He can drive the ball. He can make those firm touch throws that are part of NFL passing games. I think some will see similarities to Brett Hundley. I think Prescott's a better prospect than Brett Hundley.
Cardale Jones at 8 out of Ohio State at 6'5", 253. And I got to admit, I must admit I'm intrigued by the possibilities. Impressive size and athletic ability. Very strong arm. Can drive the ball anywhere. Takes hits. Not afraid to do that. But obviously, Greg, you know, a very small sample size, and he lost his job at Ohio State, so that's problematic. And really, I guess the big problem is, Greg, no feel for the position and some body mechanic issues. I mean, break it down here. Can Cardale Jones –
Well, John, if we're still doing this, John, in about 2019, and I hope we will be, then we'll probably be able to talk about Cardale Jones.
It's going to take that long?
Well, right now he has absolutely no feel for playing quarterback. He doesn't know where to throw the ball. What you're dealing with, and I get it. I mean, look, if you want to draft a quarterback in the sixth or seventh round, and you'd rather take a guy that's physically gifted as opposed to, let's say, Brandon Allen of Arkansas, I understand why you would take Cardale Jones. But he'd be better off being drafted very late and to be an afterthought because he's not ready.
Yeah.
He's not as good a prospect as Logan Thomas was when Logan Thomas came out of Virginia Tech, and it didn't work out for Logan Thomas in Arizona. And I think he's somewhere in the league now. But Cardale Jones. Right. We're caught up in the wrong traits when you study quarterbacks, okay? Here's what Cardale Jones is. He's a big guy who can run, and he can throw it through a brick wall. Those two things in and of themselves do not make for quarterback play at the NFL level.
So, no doubt.
He has those two traits. He doesn't really have any more traits.
I guess maybe. If he could be in like a Tyrod Taylor situation, like literally sit for 4 years on a team with a great quarterback, maybe, as you said there, by 2020, 2019. But yeah, physically, boy, there's a lot to work with there just physically. And I did like the way he was at the combine. But
he also has really a very small amount of experience playing. So there's a long way to he doesn't have many reps. He doesn't, you know, he needs a lot of mental work, physical work. You're starting from scratch with Cardale Jones.
He has only 11 starts. I mean, that's ridiculously low number there. Yeah. Jeff Driscoll at 9 here out of Louisiana Tech.
Now, he's very intriguing to me. He was also the second Florida transfer here because Brissett was at Florida with Driscoll. Driscoll, to me, did a really smart thing by going to Louisiana Tech so he could work on, you know, rehabilitate his throwing. And I think he's got the kind of throwing and movement talent you like. There's physical traits to work with. Another guy who needs a lot of experience and reps. To me, he's as intriguing a day three prospect as any, with the possible exception of Brissett if he gets to day three. But Driscoll is played with some poise, played with some composure. You saw there were NFL route concepts at times in Louisiana Tech's offense, including the three-level stretch concept. There were times his delivery was a little long, I think, and there were other times it wasn't, which means he's been working on that. So I find him to be a fascinating day three prospect, John.
Yeah, no doubt. Excellent athlete. Put up good numbers, 27 touchdowns versus 8 picks. That clearly is very intriguing. Maybe not an elite arm strength guy. He wasn't the shotgun a lot, but if he can
get an opportunity. But a good arm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy. If he could somehow, well, he probably will, sit for 2 to 3 years, he's an intriguing guy. Greg, unless you want to talk Nate Sudfeld or Kevin Hogan.
No, we can move on, John. If you want to do running backs, we can move on.
Let's head to Ezekiel Elliott. And so far and above every other running back in this class, obviously out of Ohio State, 6 foot, 225. Greg, we actually think it's a fair statement to say he could be a better pro prospect overall than Todd Gurley. And we have major man crush on Gurley, but Elliott does seem to have a little bit more polish and a better handle on the position overall as a two-year starter.
Well,
basically, he ran for 1,800 yards and at least 18 touchdowns two straight years.
I see. The way I would answer that is I don't think he's quite the runner Gurley is, but he's a better all-around back because yeah. Elliott's a terrific blocker. When you watch Ohio State tape, you see him literally scan the defense, work from side to side as a pass protector, really good at that, and a very good receiver. I personally think Gurley's a better runner. I think Elliott's a good runner, John, and, you know, it's funny because – he's being accepted right now, and I understand it as being, you know, just an unbelievable player. And there's no question that his running style fits the NFL game. He's got some natural power. He's got very good contact balance. I think he's got quick feet, but not explosive feet. And that, yeah, to me is, you know, and I know people will disagree with that. He's certainly got short area burst. So he's a very, very good prospect. I mean, he's a much better prospect, for instance, than Melvin Gordon coming out of Wisconsin a year ago.
Oh, God, totally. I mean, where are the negatives? I mean, he may not be just ridiculously explosive and all that, but, geez, it's really hard to find any negative.
No, I don't think there's a negative. I don't think there's a negative in the sense you're speaking about. What we're speaking about is what is the high standard here. And I think he's a very good runner, but not an exceptional runner. And again, it's nitpicking to some degree, but as I said, I don't think he's quite the level of running prospect, just runner, as Gurley. And to be honest with you, I think there's two backs in this class that actually have quicker feet than Elliott as runners. Now, neither one is going to be a first-round pick for various reasons, but I'm just talking about the quickness of feet.
Well, I'm going to guess that one of them is our number two running back, Kenneth Dixon out of Louisiana Tech.
No, it wouldn't be Kenneth. It wouldn't be Kenneth Dixon, but we can talk Kenneth Dixon, and then we'll let people hang on that for a minute, and we'll work through some other backs, okay?
Yeah, but we do love Kenneth Dixon. I mean, he did handle a whopping 900 touches in his career. A lot of mileage on those tires.
Yeah,
here,
and that's the concern. That's the concern. I mean, he ran really hard inside. He ran as a finisher. He's 215 pounds. There were times he ran violently and he ran through contact. The question is, can he do that in the NFL? When you watch him on tape, you think feature back. But the question really is his size and build. Can he be that guy over time, or does he eventually become more of a, I hate to use the word third down back because teams end up playing out of three wide, literally 65% of their snaps these days. But you know what I'm talking about. And he's a terrific receiver. That's the thing. He was very, very comfortable running routes out of the backfield and catching the ball. He also aligned detached from the formation. I like the player a lot. I'm very anxious to see how teams see him, whether they see him as a feature back or whether they ultimately see him as a piece.
Yeah, well, that's the question. I mean, that's it. He's skinny, as you said there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even though he's 215, he's not really built strong, and there's a difference.
But we like him for fantasy because, you know, he does everything well. He's elusive and competitive, and the receiving is huge. Really unbelievable receiver out of the backfield. So that's the thing, you know, where is he drafted and what round? I would guess round two, and the team that he gets drafted by, do they kind of need a lead? Like, what if he went to the Raiders, Greg? I would think
That would be a really interesting place because he could easily be the kind of back that you could play Latavius Murray for two series, bring Dixon in for a series. You know, you could. Yep. That's the kind of situation where he could carry 120 times and arguably catch 45 balls.
Or kind of steal the job by the second half of the season from Latavius if he fumbled.
If he can become that guy, yes. And that's the question. And you know, that's going to be the issue for you for fantasy is how to really rate him because I'm not sure myself. I mean, I like the back a lot. He's just not quite built sturdy enough to where I can say with certainty he's that guy.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that was fairly similar to Amir Abdul last year. I mean, we love the tape,
yeah,
but is he big enough? you know, to right. do that pounder inside. Well, Greg, at number three, you know, we've taken the cue from you and a couple of other people who, you know, plus our Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, they watch a lot of college football. They study the tape. And somewhat controversially, Greg, we have Jonathan Williams out of Arkansas at three. Is he?
Well, that's not the least bit controversial to me because I think he's got quicker feet than Ezekiel Elliott.
There is.
Now, he's not a better back if you're just looking at an all-around back. So, but Jonathan Williams is a classic I-formation back with the overall skill set to thrive in an NFL run game. He's got foundation back traits. I really like this kid on film, and I obviously went back to 2014 and watched a bunch of tape to see him because he did not play in 2015. But it's my understanding that the medicals are fine. Now, he's 5'11", 220. Perfect size. He's an eye back. You saw that in college. You don't have to guess to see those runs. You know, there's no projection. He's a natural eye back reading the front, running downhill. He's a slasher. He's a darter. He's fluid. He's powerful. He's got really good lateral movement and agility. I really like Jonathan Williams a lot. Where you have him is not an issue at all.
And clearly you think he can be a lead back in the NFL, a three down lead back.
Well, that's what I don't know, the receiving part, and I'll be totally honest with you. But I think he can be a foundation runner, let's put it that way.
Well, he did a pretty good job in protection if you go back to the tape in 2014, and he did have a pretty good work in the receiving game. Also, Greg, for what it's worth, and those wondering about Jonathan Williams who may not know about him, he didn't play last year, as we alluded to, but he was also part of a committee with Alex Collins, so he doesn't have a lot of mileage, Greg. He's under 500 touches.
Yep. And I think he's effective running in any scheme, whether it's zone-based or gap scheme. I think he's got all the traits you look for in an I-back. You line him up, you know, 7-8 yards behind the quarterback, and you give him the ball. I think he's that guy.
Speaking of whether he's better off in a zone-based or a gap scheme-based, that brings us to our number four back, and it's Derrick Henry, of course, a name that most people or surprised is only coming at four on the list here out of Alabama, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner. Huge, 6'3", 247, runs very well, amazing production. I mean, this is ridiculous, Greg. 395 carries, 2,200-plus yards, 28 touchdowns as a junior last year. We've seen the comparisons, LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Jacobs, but we actually, and I think you've done this as well, We actually use Melvin Gordon as a comparison in terms of a lot of his big runs essentially came on massive holes and not exactly sure about his ability to kind of create on his own. And he needs to be probably in an ideal situation. Give us your thoughts on Mr. Henry.
I think he has limited traits as a runner. He does not have spontaneous agility, which is essential for an NFL running back. So Henry needs to be in a specific kind of scheme. Like, I think if you put Derrick Henry on the Dallas Cowboys, assuming that O-line were to block the way it did in 2014 for DeMarco Murray, when DeMarco Murray had many, many runs where no one touched him for 7 yards, yeah. I think that Derrick Henry would fit very well. He's a track runner. He needs to work in you know, whether it's gap schemes, counter trap, those kinds of runs, and he's a dependent runner. He needs the offensive line to get him running room early in the down. He can't run if there's not running room early in the down because he does not have running traits. He's not agile. He's not quick. He's not going to create. He needs everything created for him.
One thing that could kind of work out for him is a lot of people feel he'll slip into the second round. And, you know, Dallas has got the third pick in that second round. You know, Baltimore, we can't rule them out. So that'll be interesting. He'll be dependent on where he goes. I guess all these players are, but maybe a little bit more so for Derrick Henry. So if
the other factor with Henry, John, is if you draft him, don't you pretty much have to say that your offense works around him? Because what is one of his strengths? One of his strengths is that he supposedly wears down defenses, correct?
Yeah. Now, volume. I mean,
number one, we don't know if he'll wear down NFL defenses first, but let's assume you believe that. The only way you wear down defenses is to give him the ball 20-plus times every week. So that means if you draft Henry, that means you're basically saying our offense starts with Derrick Henry. You're not drafting him to give him the ball nine times a game. He's not that kind of player.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a location that will, you know, lend itself to that kind of a role. I mean, it's just hard to envision.
Theoretically, Dallas. Because if Dallas wants to recreate with a year older Tony Romo what they had in 2014, then that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Even though they did sign, of course, Alfred Morris, it certainly wouldn't preclude them from taking Henry. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Moving on, Greg, we're through the running backs here, four of them, and we're up to number five. The fantasyguru.com pre-draft rankings. It's Paul Perkins out of UCLA, 5'10", 208, focal point of the offense, had a lot of touches, not exactly built like a traditional three-down back. He did bulk up a little bit, Greg. And I guess the first thing that stands out is elusiveness as an NFL
for sure.
Talk about Paul Perkins.
Yeah, he's more quick than fast. He's a make-you-miss runner more than a long-speed runner. He's got tremendous spontaneous agility, just what Henry does not have. Paul Perkins has that in abundance. He's got high-level stop-and-start quickness, really good balance, body control, hard runner. Actually, good contact balance for a guy who's, I guess he's about 208 pounds or so. My guess is he bulked up to that. I don't think he probably played at that weight at UCLA this past year. But he's a darting, slashing runner, great lateral agility, explosive. He lacks size and power. So now how can he be used in the NFL? That's what you have to decide.
Yeah, does he lack the size and power to be, you know, a lead back? I mean, that's really the question. Does he have the size and strength to kind of, you know, run through contact in the NFL? I guess that's the big question.
Yeah, and that's why there's no absolutes here, because, you know, in the right situation, is he Jamaal Charles?
Wow.
I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I'm saying, you know, people deal with draft in absolutes. Like, they'll talk about certain positions. Oh, well, he's an offensive tackle. He's 6'3 and 310 pounds. That's too small. Well, it might be, except Kelvin Beachum has started for the Pittsburgh Steelers, now with the Jaguars, for the last 3 years at that size. So, you know, there's no absolutes here. You know, all you're doing is working off percentages. Paul Perkins, you know, when you look at him, you don't think feature back in that sense. We're not talking feature back like Adrian Peterson, obviously, or Marshawn Lynch was, but in a certain system, you know, can Paul Perkins be a guy you can put out there on 65% of the snaps?
Well, he caught 80 balls in three seasons, so is there any Duke Johnson? Is there any Duke Johnson in him?
That's might be valid as well. I mean, we didn't see Paul Perkins, not that I recall. I don't want to say this as an absolute. I don't remember him being detached from the formation, lining up outside the numbers as a wideout, where we saw Duke Johnson do that in college, and he did it in the NFL in his rookie year with Cleveland.
CJ Procise out of Notre Dame is number six on the board here, 6 foot 220. If you watch the Notre Dame documentary, I believe it was on Showtime, you know the story there. He was forced to move from wide receiver to running back and did exceptionally well here, 1,029 yards, 11 touchdowns on only 157 carries. So what is the takeaway from CJ Procise out of Notre Dame, Greg?
Well, right now he's David Johnson light. He went to Notre Dame as a wide receiver. He's a one-year runner, so he's very raw and unrefined with an awful lot to learn. But size, skill set, he's David Johnson light. And, you know, keep in mind, David Johnson last year obviously got a chance, whatever it was, week 11, 12. I mean, he was a situational player through most of last season, and then he got an opportunity and was great. But when David Johnson was drafted, second or third round, I forget, he didn't play a lot. Or what's that?
Third round.
Oh, third, yeah, that's what I thought. So, you know, this guy is very similar in terms of traits, but he just doesn't have anywhere near the reps or experience.
220, ran a 4.48 40, Greg. That's pretty good. The speed to get
pretty
to
good.
The corner.
And he's a good receiver. He went there as a receiver.
Yep, he did have some fumbling problems. A lot of guys in this class, by the way. Yeah. How about a Jeremy Langford comp? Is that viable as well? Or you're like,
No? I don't see that comp, but that's okay.
Gotcha. Moving on to number 7 on the list here, Alex Collins out of Arkansas, 5'10", 217. Greg, durable player, 3 years at Arkansas, you know, very productive, 665 carries. He also split time with Jonathan Williams. But, you know, for what it's worth, Greg, he had a horrible showing at the combine. But the good news is the tape's a lot better than the measurables at the combine.
Yeah, the tape's the tape's actually pretty good. Well, I would say what defined him as a runner are excellent vision and quick feet. And he was really effective as a blocker. He went after people. I mean, and he went after defensive linemen. And he was a really good chip blocker. For whatever it's worth, when people talk about speed, I mean, he ran away from the LSU defense on an 80-yard touchdown run. So he showed enough open field speed to win a race to the end zone. Now, he's a decisive downhill runner. That's his mentality. And that's critical in the NFL. He's a back that maximizes yards. He's a move the chains runner.
Yeah. We were very impressed with some excellent moments in pass protection as well. He loved the kid from Alabama.
A'shaun Robinson, yes. They're going, teams will see Collins block A'shaun Robinson and finish with competitiveness and tenacity, and they will like that.
Yeah. A'shaun Robinson, by the way, I could not believe that kid at the combine. He looks 39, and he's
a man. Yeah,
he's 20. I was like, oh my god! I had to actually, I snapped a shot of him, sent a pic to my son who's 23. I was like, yeah, you believe this guy's 20? Hard to believe. Moving on, Greg, to our number 8 guy out of Indiana, 6'2", 230, Jordan Howard, and let's simply throw out this name, Greg, and see if you like the comp, DeMarco Murray. You want to talk about a track runner? What are your thoughts on that comp? Maybe not.
Not sure yet, but I mean, this Howard's a competitive, sustaining back. He's an inside runner. He's a grinder. He can get tough yards. Not a big play back, but I think he has between the tackle traits. He's got good size, natural power, enough wiggle, but not you know, big on that, but enough. Showed some deceptive lateral agility in confined space. He's got finishing traits, ran through contact. You know, he's an inside runner. You know, he's a little tight in his hips. I don't think he's a guy who's really going to get out on the perimeter. I mean, in that sense, he's the DeMarco Murray comparison is probably, and again, we're just talking traits, is probably realistic.
See, a first, second down back type of a guy. He did have 145 yards in each game that he played this year rushing. So he's kind of a volume guy, bigger back volume guy. Moving on, Greg, you still there with us?
I'm right here, John. We didn't get to the back. It's probably on no one's list, who probably has as quick a feat as any back in this draft. He's only 207 pounds at the combine. And you know, again, I'm not saying he's a top back as far as overall, but if you want to see quick feet, Kelvin Taylor from Florida may have the quickest feet in this draft.
That's Fred's son. Fred's son.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you like about his tape? He didn't really do well at the combine in terms of the measurables, but you like the tape.
Yeah, I do like the tape with Kelvin Taylor an awful lot. Yeah, he's, again, I know he's not on a lot of people's list, but, you know, when you pop in the tape of Kelvin Taylor, now there's a guy with spontaneous agility, really quick feet, made a lot of people miss in the backfield. He was one of those guys that made great four-yard runs. And again, now you get into what's the NFL about. There's a whole hell of a lot more four-yard runs than there are 30-yard runs in the NFL.
Yeah, true. Well, we did skip a few guys here. We only have Kelvin Taylor at 13, but to back up a moment, give us any thoughts you have on Tyler Ervin out of San Jose State, 5'10", 192, and a guy we have probably lower than most, Devontae Booker. He's a little bit of a polarizing guy out of Utah, 5'11", 219. Anything on Booker or Ervin?
Yeah, Ervin, I really liked on film. I mean, again, you're dealing with a guy, though, that's 192 pounds, but he ran inside with toughness, with conviction. He was a hard, hard runner. He had a ton of runs under center. He's used to doing that. I mean, he ran like a bigger back, but he's 192 pounds. But overall, he's got quickness, lateral agility, and burst. He's got a tough competitive mentality. I think his size probably prevents him from being more than a complimentary back, but to me, he's a really good prospect, a really good prospect.
Yeah. Also caught 87 passes in his career.
Yeah.
So, you know,
oh, yeah.
Could be that.
I mean, he's got that sudden change of direction, John. He goes from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat.
He could be a guy who settles in as a complimentary guy, and if he's needed to carry the load for 2, 3, 4 games, he could probably get it done.
I would agree. Devontae Booker is a guy who I probably didn't like as much on film as a lot of people. I know I've seen lists where he's number 3 on people's lists. You know, he's a downhill runner. Not real shifty. I mean, he was decisive when he saw it and felt it. Workmanlike, not flashy. To me, kind of a vision and feel runner. He worked kind of through the middle of the defense. Now, I saw him more as like a Jeremy Langford, to be honest with you.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Also, small hands. He fumbled 9 times. Not explosive.
No.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the thing.
Good receiver.
You know,
good receiver, yeah. Which is why I thought of Langford, because you can line him up detached from the formation.
Yeah, I think he's a guy who probably needs to be in the right situation, maybe in a team that spreads the field quite a bit. So, yeah, we're sharing a brain there. We only have Devontae Booker at 10, followed by let's go to Kenyon Drake at 11 out of Alabama, 6'1", 210, rotational guy, obviously.
Yeah, he's a piece, John. I was talking to a scout last night, and we were talking about Kenyon Drake, and he said he's the kind of guy who's going to play 12 snaps a game. So, I mean, Kenyon Drake, that's what he is, you know. So, it's from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not sure how you deal with him, but he's not going to be on the field for a lot of snaps.
Greg, we'll move on to the wide receivers here in the FantasyGuru.com podcast, along with Greg Cosell. I'm John Hansen. We do have this report up at FantasyGuru.com. If you're a subscriber, the pre-draft rookie report has been up for about 3 weeks, a lot more detail. And, of course, we're going to reconvene after the draft and talk about exactly how these players fit into their teams in terms of the schemes and the like. So we'll move on to the wide receivers. And we do have Laquon Treadwell at 1, Greg. It's not a great receiver class in terms of a clear-cut number 1. Quality depth at the top, but not a stud. So we default to Treadwell, 6'2", 220 out of Mississippi. Maybe a little Dez Bryant in him, maybe a little Alshon Jeffrey. Not a freak in terms of the speed. Only ran a 4.6 40 at his pro day, but you know, he's got some Anquan Boldin in him, too.
He ran about the same 40-yard dash time as Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins, and I think he's got similar traits to when Hopkins came out of Clemson. Treadwell has great size, great strength. He's got a physical presence. He's got really good athleticism. He's not sudden, but he's really smooth. You know, I really like Treadwell. Treadwell is everything but sudden and explosive. Now, I know that means something, but, you know, he's a physical presence. He's a smooth-looking athlete. He's a glider with toughness. He's not, I wouldn't call him purely powerful like a Julio Jones, but Treadwell plays big. I really like, Treadwell's going to be a good pro receiver. He's a better mover than Anquan Boldin.
Do you see him as an X for sure, or is that to be determined?
You know, again, now you're dealing with team, John, and I think a lot of the
Yeah.
X and Z's have become kind of diluted depending on because of the use of three wides. I mean, he can be
Yeah.
an X. He's big enough to line up on the line of scrimmage. He's also got some subtle route running ability. He knows how to set up corners. I like Treadwell a lot. I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, these guys coming out of college, they lined up everywhere in college, so they can
Yep.
probably play all three spots. Josh Doctson out of TCU, 6'2", 202, comes in next on the list. I did have a chance to talk with him at the combine. Another he's a guy who basically credits basketball with a lot of his abilities, and that reminded me a little bit of Alshon Jeffrey, who I interviewed on the radio this past year, and he credited his ability to make acrobatic catches and to jump and all that from his basketball days. Might Greg be the best all-around receiver in this year's draft class? Talk about what you saw from Dotson.
Yeah, and I think he's a little twitchier than Treadwell, a little more snap to his movement. I think, like Treadwell, Doctson is a natural catcher of the ball. I mean, I would say Treadwell's probably a smoother mover than Doctson, but Doctson is unmatched the way he attacks and snatches the ball. I don't think there's a player, a receiver in this draft class that snatches the ball the way Josh Doctson does. And again, another guy that you wouldn't describe as truly explosive, a little more measured probably, but a very smooth guy. To me, these are the two best wide receiver prospects in this draft.
I know the lines have been blurred and it's almost a cliche to even say, but do you view him as a one or a terrific two? I mean, he'd be a terrific two, but can he
Well,
be
the
a
lines
one?
are blurred because, how are, again, and I know that's a tough question to answer because how are we determining what a one is? I mean, look, DeAndre Hopkins came out of into the draft running a 4.57 40. Now, the way a lot of people think about receivers, they think, oh, if you run a 4.57, you're not fast enough to be a one. I think it's pretty fair to say that DeAndre Hopkins is a one, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, Josh Doctson, I can't remember what, I think his 40 time was actually 4.50, and he's 6'2", 202 pounds, and probably could get up to 210 in an NFL weight room. So, he's a physical, look, is Allen Robinson a one?
Yeah, I'd say
Yeah,
so.
so, again, that's why I'm just saying the lines get blurred. I think when Allen Robinson came out of Penn State, no one saw him as a one, but I think in the context of Jacksonville, he's a one, and the numbers suggest he's a one. So can Josh Doctson be that guy? I think he can be that guy, yes.
How about to Cincinnati at 24, opposite AJ Green would be
That
very
would be pretty
intriguing.
good for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Of course he could not he may not make it past the Vikings there at 23. It's possible. So he's a very
Yep.
interesting guy. And it depends where he goes. I mean, Cleveland,
Yeah.
they could take him and he could be a one there. Yeah, good kid too. I like the way he definitely
Minnesota
captured
would be
the offense.
very interesting, John, because Bridgewater's not a great deep ball thrower, but Doctson is the kind of guy that if you put it up to him, he goes and gets
Right.
it. He's that kind of player.
Exactly. Great ball skills and great hands.
Yep.
So
Good
there it
point.
is. Corey Coleman out of Baylor is next on the list. 5'11", 194. He was a disappointment at the combine. He is was a couple of months removed from sports hernia surgery. 5'11", 195. Did run a great 40 at their pro day, though, in mid-March, 4.3. What are your thoughts on Coleman? He gets from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat, but and very dynamic after the catch. But these
Yep.
Baylor wide receivers, Greg, they're a little shaky. They don't run a full route tree in college.
Well, they run about two routes. But again, he's a guy that is obviously explosive, John. Now, and I had this conversation with a scout as well. Is he a full-time player or more of a situational game plan weapon? I mean, early on, my guess is he's more of a situational game plan weapon. He has game-breaking ability. What is his future? I mean, what do we see him as down the road? Is he John Brown? Is he what is Coleman as he develops? Because at this point, to
Deshaun
me, he's
Jackson?
probably a good. What's that?
Deshaun Jackson?
Maybe, you know, but that's a certain kind of receiver. You know, that kind of receiver to me needs to be with other receivers, because that dimension, just being able to run fast, and I'm sure we'll get to Will Fuller, you know, that's like the Mike Wallace deal. Mike Wallace was really effective when he played with Antonio Brown and Hines Ward. When Mike Wallace is not playing with other good receivers, he's a one-trick pony. So we're trying to figure out, what is Coleman? What is Will Fuller? You know, yes, can they run fast and lift the top off defenses and perhaps at times dictate coverages? Sure they can, but they can't be your main guy. These guys, Coleman has to develop into more than sort of a piece or just a speed guy. So now you have to think, if you draft him, and I've seen mock drafts where people have him in the top 15, you know, what are you envisioning him becoming? He's got to be more than a guy who's a piece if you're going to draft him in the top 15.
Yeah, I mean, I would think at best he's a number two receiver who plays alongside a big time go to one, and he's a guy you're looking to stretch the defense with. And you know,
is he Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, the size comparable is right there. So,
and don't forget, Sanders plays with Demaryius Thomas.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So
who's a clear X and all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Coleman, don't get me wrong. It's just, you have to transition guys to the NFL game. So you start with traits, but then you have to decide, okay, where do they play in the NFL and how do they play in the NFL?
Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma at 4 here, 5'10", 184.
I like that kid.
Yeah, basically slot receiver, Greg. And of course, we can talk Randall Cobb, but did the tape give you more than just, okay, he's a slot receiver?
You know, he could play in a slot tomorrow. I wonder, because I think he's really good and really is efficient. He worked the middle of the field really well, caught the ball in traffic at Oklahoma. There were times he showed deceptive vertical speed. I think at times he can line up outside as well. Now, I'm not saying he's your X, but I think there are, you know, in this league now with a lot more receiver distributional location, I think he can line up outside. The question is, John, let me ask you this. Is he a Brandon Cooks type prospect who can align both outside and inside, or do you see him primarily as a slot?
Well, I was going to say Tyler Lockett.
And I think that comparison's been made. And I know Lockett did well this year, but I would say that to me, I liked Shepard coming out more than I liked Lockett coming out. Now, when I watched Shepard against Mackenzie Alexander, he struggled a bit with the press man coverage of Mackenzie Alexander from Clemson. Now, he couldn't win vertically, but he had some success with his quickness and change of direction. That's the kind of receiver he is. But I really like Shepard. I think he'll be a productive NFL receiver, and I think he'll play early.
Yeah, if he's in the slot, most likely.
Yes,
He needs some work, probably needs some seasoning there as he moves on here. Tyler Boyd out of Pitt is next on our list at 5'6", 197. Not an off-the-charts measurable guy, Greg. One of the slower wide receivers at the combine, but arguably the most impressive hands and body control in this group. He did run a pro-style offense at Pittsburgh and certainly knows what he's doing out there. What are your thoughts on Tyler Boyd?
He's a guy I loved watching because he was a detailed route runner. You rarely see college receivers with a really refined feel for route running and how to set up corners, understanding the tempo of different routes. Boyd was that guy. There's just not a lot of juice to him. So that's... For some teams, they'll look at him and say he's a fifth-round pick. And for other teams, depending on the team, you know, they might say, hey, we've got a big-time number one. He'd be really good opposite that guy, you know, because he's a complementary-type guy. Good size, strong hands, can play outside in the slot, can work the middle of the field. You know, I was trying to figure out similarities with him. Is he a Jarvis Landry type, you know, who Landry didn't run real fast at the combine either? You know,
Keenan Allen?
But Boyd, some would see him as a Keenan Allen, absolutely. Pretty good. I like that.
Number six, Greg, is the aforementioned Will Fuller out of Notre Dame, 6'1", 186. And basically it comes down to this, Greg. He's a blazer, but he has very questionable hands.
Yes, and he's nothing more than a blazer. So he provides a speed dimension to an offense, but he's not a multidimensional receiver. He's a piece of a pass offense. So he's Mike Wallace coming out of Ole Miss. Some might see him as DeSean Jackson. But that's what he is. He's by the way, that speed's pretty good. I mean, he ran by college corners when they were bailed playing 10 yards off him. So, I mean, he's a one-trick pony, but that trick's pretty good. He can run.
Well, a scorching 4.32 in the 40 is ridiculous.
That's in John Hansen territory.
I can run, Greg. I'm telling you. That's my best attribute. Let's move on to number seven, Rashard Higgins. I got to be honest. I don't know a ton about Rashard Higgins, Colorado State. Of course, I didn't write the pre-draft rookie report, but your thoughts on this kid, 6'1". 196.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's pretty smooth. He's athletic. He's got long arms. He's got a pretty good catching radius. To me, he's your classic complimentary outside receiver, opposite sort of a high-level number one. He'd be like a Marvin Jones type to me. I think he has some deceptive quickness as a route runner. You know, he's a fluid guy. He's a strider. He's not explosive, and that's why he's not a number one type, and that's why we're discussing him where we are. Not a physical guy, and that's something that, you know, might limit what you can do with him. He might not be able to move inside and play in the slot.
By the way, speaking of my speed, just for the record, because I have been taped, at the Super Bowl, they had a thing where you could run the 40. And I had, with wearing jeans and with five beers in me, I ran a 6.140. So I think I could shave that down to about 5.
To what, 5.9?
5.8. Yeah. It sounds horrible, but it's actually pretty good. Moving on, Greg.
Pretty good.
Farrow Cooper out of South Carolina, 5'11", 203. Another slot guy, a little Randall Cobb in him as well. I think you really like Farrow Cooper, right?
Yeah, and actually I think he's got some similarities to Golden Tate. They both went to college as running backs. Their body types, they're physical, they're compact. I like Cooper. I mean, he's stiff, a little stiff, and that's clearly a concern. But there's an explosiveness to him, not so much in terms of a 40 time, but just the way he plays. I mean, he caught a 78-yard touchdown against Vanderbilt where it was a quick slant. He just exploded with another gear past the defense, did the same thing versus LSU. There's an explosiveness at time to his movement where he ran by people, even though he's not a 4-3 guy. The big question will be his ability to separate versus quality man coverage, because he's a little tight in his hips and not quite as fluid as you'd ultimately like.
I think we lost you there for a second, Greg, but we got you back here. Michael Thomas out of Ohio State, he's intriguing, 6'3". 212, the nephew of Keyshawn Johnson, and similar to Keyshawn. I mean, he's not a burner by any stretch. I mean, basically, savvy route runner and really a strong player. Huge hands, makes difficult catches.
Yeah.
Can this guy, Michael Thomas, be, again, we go back to that blurred line, but can he be a number one, an X receiver?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think there might be some teams that see him down the road as maybe similar to Allen Robinson, who we've mentioned before. And John, Allen Robinson was not viewed as a number one when he came out of Penn State. To me, Thomas, sure, you hit it right on the head. He's got pretty good movement for his size, not great movement. He catches the ball with his hands. I think he's not a real good route runner to me. I think that he's one of those guys. There are times where I felt, and I watched him over and over again, because there were times I didn't like him at all, and there's other times I just said, oh, he's not bad. I think he's a size-length receiver who's a work in progress. I think there were times he looked stiff as a route runner. He's not a real fluid guy. He's a little herky-jerky, but the size always helps.
Braxton Miller, I really loved him at the Combine. really charismatic kid. Ohio State, of course, the former quarterback at 6'1", 201. Very athletic, obviously, Greg, and certainly needs to continue to improve as a receiver. But what are your thoughts on Braxton Miller? I mean, could he be a gadget player from day one in the NFL?
Well, that's what it'll be initially. And I think the hope is he develops into more. But I think, you know, we talked about Kenyon Drake playing 12 or 15 snaps a game. That's what I think Miller is early on. You have a package of plays for him, and that's what he does. And you move him around. And for the coaches, if you draft Braxton Miller, you probably have a personal inclination as a coach to try some things, because you're not drafting him and saying, okay, he's a receiver right now and let's line him up outside. So Braxton Miller, he's an intriguing prospect. To me, I don't presume to know where people get drafted, John. I really don't, and I don't view myself as being good at that kind of thing. But I can't imagine he's being drafted in the top 40 or 50 picks.
Right. I mean, it'd be nice third round. You take a shot on him there, but, you know, maybe it's a reach in the second. Malcolm Mitchell out of Georgia is 12th on our list, 6 foot 198. Another guy, honestly, I don't know a lot about, but I do know that he ran a 4.45 40. So he's an upfield, down the field kind of a guy. Any tape study thoughts on Malcolm Mitchell, who likely be?
Oh, yeah. He's one of my most intriguing wideouts in this draft. I like his, he's a real good prospect to me. I think he's got size. I think he's got speed. I think he's got run after catch. He plays with a physical nature. He's got some nastiness to him as a run after catch guy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to turn out to be, you know, a top number, you know, big time receiver in the NFL, but I think there's potential game-changing type ability here. And now, again, it depends on where he goes. He had a great matchup. He went head-to-head with Florida corner Vernon Hargreaves, and it was a real good matchup for both. You know, I thought Mitchell handled himself really well. The question with him will be quickness in and out of breaks. He's a little more of a strider. You know, I think he's a better Torrey Smith kind of prospect. You know, he's got vertical speed, he's got some skill, he's more physical than Torrey Smith, and he's better run after catch.
Yeah, I like the nastiness and the physicality, those words.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and that's great, because he tore it up at the combine in terms of the 4.4 40 and then the 36 vertical leap and all that, and he did show those skills on tape. How about the kid out of Rutgers, Leonte Carew? Is he intriguing to you, or not so much? Okay.
Why is that? He is intriguing. The only thing with him, in some ways, it's like what we talked about with Faro Cooper. Leonte Carew's a little stiff, but he's a very good route. He's another guy that reminded me a little bit of Golden Tate in terms of size and build and the physicality with which he played. Physical presence to his game. Not explosive, but very smooth. Understood how to run routes. Understood how to work corners. Really a competitive kid, which, you know, and he was a really good blocker. That's where you saw it. And it was demanded in Rutgers' scheme. And Carew clearly went after it. A ball snatcher, you know, went up and got the ball, caught the ball away from his body, showed some polish as a route runner, really liked the player, some physical limitations because of the stiffness, but fits the profile of a quality number two receiver in the NFL.
At number 14, a wideout from Clemson, and that should get your attention, because these guys come out of Clemson and they blow up, basically. Hopkins, Watkins, Martavis, Sharon Peak. 6'2", 209, Greg, the size, the speed, the ball skills to really make him a threat. But on the other hand, he didn't really play a ton. Any thoughts on Peak?
Well, it's funny. You know, he checks a lot of boxes when you look at what you just said. He's got size. He's a 6'2", 209. Time, speed. He does not play like that, though. He didn't play to that speed, and he didn't show a second gear. You know, I'm thinking to myself watching him, and I watched a ton of Clemson for obvious reasons. You know, to me, does he transition to the NFL more effectively as a big-bodied slot receiver like a Mohamed Sanu? Is he that guy? I mean, if you draft him, or is the hope that he becomes an Eric Decker type receiver? To me, that would be the ceiling for Peak, which is perfectly good. But he's not. He doesn't play fast. He's not that guy. He's not going to run by people. He's a big guy, but doesn't play fast at all.
Well, we've covered 14 guys, Greg. We're not going to cover every single one, but I'll throw out some names to you, and you tell me if you have anything riveting. Well, you have riveting thoughts on everything, Greg, music included, but that's another podcast. Aaron Burbridge out of Michigan State, 6'206". Colby Listenby out of TCU, 6'197". Chris Moore, Cincinnati, 6'1206". Daniel Braverman, another slot guy, Western Michigan, 5'10", 178. Any thoughts, anything jump out on those guys?
Well, Burbridge reminded me of down the road to become a Doug Baldwin type in terms of toughness, body type, hands, overall physical nature to his play. That's the way I saw Burbridge. The kid Listenby, he played opposite Doxson. He can run. That's another kid who can run. He's a vertical guy. That would be his opportunity in the NFL. So he's a piece. But I mean, he's predominantly a vertical straight line route runner. Goes in posts. He's a glider. He can run. Who else did you mention?
Chris Moore out of Cincinnati.
Oh, Chris Daniel Moore. Braverman. Yeah, Chris Moore is another runner. At this point, he's a free access vertical receiver. You got to decide whether he can beat press coverage. That's a question mark right now. Needs a lot of work as a route runner. Doesn't really know how to do that at this point, but he's vertically explosive. He's not laterally explosive. He rounds off his breaks. But he's another guy that his play speed was better than his time speed.
Greg, and finally, we'll move on to the tight ends. Obviously, we focus on the skill positions, and unfortunately, it's not a great class. We do have one high-end guy, I would say, in Hunter Henry out of Arkansas, 6'5", 250, obviously highly regarded in terms of the top tight end in this class. How do you compare him to maybe the last two, three, 4 years in terms of the top tight ends? And, you know, what were your impressions studying Hunter Henry's tape?
I like Hunter Henry. I mean, I thought there were some similarities to a Travis Kelce. Size, athletic ability, hands, run after catch, some vertical ability. I think he's got a really good ceiling as an NFL tight end. He's got a multiple skill set. He's not a great blocker, but he's going to get better. He was a willing blocker. He competed and finished with effort. He's going to get better at that. But I think he's what you look for now, in that he can align all over the formation, and he's a very good receiver.
Small hands, but that's only a minor concern. Didn't have a drop last year. And also, for what it's worth, Greg, and in our office, it's worth a lot. He is a doppelganger for Joe Dolan from fantasyguru.com. Greg, I want you to check out the Google images and see if you agree after this podcast. And
oh, maybe we'll hear back from
him. Yeah. He's got a little Joe Dolan in him. So, you know, we dig that kid. Moving on here, and again, it's not a good class. We've got the kid out of Ohio State, Nick Vinette, next, who is a good blocker. He played with Jeff Heuermann, who could get an opportunity, by the way, in Denver this year. Any thoughts on Nick Vinette?
Well, to me, you're drafting what you think he can become. He's a combination blocking, receiving, tight end. He's a good blocker. He's a big guy in line. He's not a great receiver at this point. I don't think his film presents him as a tight end that'll really be in high demand, because he doesn't really have the athleticism and receiving skill that you'd look for, ideally. Now, can he develop into that over time? Maybe. But at this point, he looks like a number two tight end, and you have to answer, if you draft him, can he become more than that?
We have Thomas Duarte out of UCLA next, and he's another
tweener type guy. Now, there's a receiving tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Jordan Reed type. Athleticism, movement, pass catching ability. He's one of those guys. He's not an inline player. Now, if you draft him and you want him to be your tight end, just like Jordan Reed is the starting tight end for Washington, eventually he will have to play in line just like Jordan Reed does, and that will be a work in progress. There'll be some learning involved there. But in college, all of his catches came pretty much off free access from the slot. You also have to project how you think he'll handle more physical coverage in the NFL. But this kid, he looks like a wide receiver. He's a really fluid athlete.
Yeah, and I know our number four guy, Jarrell Adams, you did not see yet, and that's one of only, like, I sent you a list of like 50 guys, and you're like, I've seen everyone but these three guys. So you're putting in the work. It's like, wow, I was shocked there. And number five, Tyler Higbee, Western Kentucky, 6'6", 249. You've seen his tape, Greg?
Oh, yeah. And I really like him. It's a shame. I think he just got picked up for some just bad thing. But so I don't know how that will impact his draft status. But he's a really smooth route runner. At times looks like a big wide receiver on intermediate routes. He's another excellent receiving tight end prospect, John. Strong combination of movement, athleticism, hands, run after catch, competitive. I like him as a prospect.
Little Kobe Fleener, perhaps?
Interesting comparison. Maybe not quite as vertically smooth, because Fleener really is that guy, but not far off.
This kid, I don't really know anything about, I'll be honest with you, out of Stanford. Devon Kajuste. I don't even know how to pronounce his name here.
Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't play tight end at Stanford. That's why. I mean, he's a big guy. You know, I think he's the kind of guy that if you get a creative offensive coach, the Sean Paytons of the world, that Devon Kajuste will be an interesting player. He probably transitions more as a tight end type, even though he didn't play tight end at Stanford.
By the way, speaking of Stanford, I got to give me something on Christian McCaffrey, because this kid, man, wow. I watched a lot of Stanford this year. I mean, again, we're not talking 2017 draft, but do you have anything you can give me on Christian McCaffrey from what you've seen?
Well, I watched about five or six Stanford games because they have other players. So I wasn't taking notes on McCaffrey, but, you know, he's really fun to watch. He's really quick. And he's a great receiver.
I mean, fantasy, we're going to be all over that kid for fantasy. I mean, period.
Yeah, well, the question will be what he will be in the NFL, because I think he's only about 201 pounds or 200. I mean, he's, you know, and I don't know the answer to that. I haven't, you know, really studied him hard, but he'll be an interesting guy.
Right. Moving on here. And, you know, I guess we'll just do one more, and only because I talked to him at the combine. I did kind of like him. But Austin Hooper out of Stanford, speaking of Stanford, pretty good history there with tight ends. He's not perfect, Austin Hooper, but your thoughts?
He's not the same guy as Kobe Fleener, another Stanford guy. Fleener is more explosive vertically. Some might think Zach Ertz, you know, short to intermediate route runners with some vertical ability, but they're not truly seam stretchers or matchup weapons in a strict sense. Hooper needs a lot of improvement as a blocker, and that's going to hurt him because he's got really good size, and I think people will see him as a line of scrimmage tight end because he's not a true matchup weapon, but he needs a lot of technique work and fundamental work as a run blocker. There were times it was bad. So, you know, as a receiver, he probably has the look more of your second tight end, not your number one tight end.
That's going to wrap it up, Greg. Great stuff. This is one of our better pre-draft rookie report podcasts. So before we sign off, we'll let you plug the special draft show for the NFL matchup show that you are going to be rolling out. That is what, Tuesday the 19th? You already have one in the books from this past
week. We had one last Tuesday, which I think is on again this weekend, by the way. So people should check their listings and either watch it or DVR it, because the first one is on again this weekend. The second one is Tuesday night, April 19th, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 p.m. on ESPN, the mothership. So we hope people will watch that. And as I mentioned, John, I will also be on as on-air talent for an analyst on a Fox show that will air on the 23rd of April. I don't know the time exactly. I believe it's called Championship Chase.
We'll tweet that out as well to help you out, at Greg Cosell. And of course, in about 3 weeks, we'll reconvene here and we'll break down every team, every skilled player of note drafted, and how they fit in with their current scheme. So great stuff, Greg. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in about 3 weeks. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. That was your pre-draft rookie report podcast for 2016, and we'll talk to you next time.